Welcome to the Quill Fiction Story Guild podcast, a podcast exclusively for members of the Quill Fiction Story Guild. I'm Frances O'Rourke Dowell, and we're reading my work in progress friendship album, 1934. Thank you for joining us, and as always, thank you for being part of the Quill Fiction community. Now, on to the story. Chapter 27. Bess had a long list of the ways she missed Dorothy, but she missed her in the kitchen most of all. When the girls were younger and Bill was still alive, it was so nice to have an extra set of hands to help get dinner ready. Bess almost always cooked, but before she left in the afternoon, Dorothy would slice and salt and chop and marinate so that all the ingredients were ready for Bess to make them into a meal. "All you've got to do now is add heat," she'd say as she hung up her apron for the day. For almost a year after Bill died, Dorothy had stayed late to make dinner, even though Bess had protested that Jane and Helen could do it. But the fact was, none of them had been good for much, especially in those early months. There came a time when Dorothy was able to lure Jane into the kitchen with promises of scientific activity, and she'd gotten Helen's attention by insisting that setting the table wasn't a chore, it was like setting the stage for a play. It had been good for the girls to help out, Bess had thought, though it was many months before she could do the same. Dorothy's cooking had been different from Bess's in subtle and not so subtle ways. She believed that for most meals, meat was best used as a seasoning, not as a centerpiece. "When I was coming up, you only ate high on the hog on Sundays," Bess remembered Dorothy telling her once. High on the hog turned out to mean the best, most costly cuts of meat. If there happened to be ham on Bess's plate on a Wednesday night, it was a small portion of ham served with what Dorothy called soup beans. She'd bake a pan of cornbread and cut it into thick pieces, which could be eaten on their own or crumbled into the bowl. It had all been foreign to Bess and the girls, but it was exactly right, both light and filling at the same time. Bess had felt Dorothy's care in the brightly seasoned soups and stews she'd made for them, the yeast rolls and cornbread. The pies! Oh, the pies! Dorothy's suppers had been part of the family's healing. Not only that, under Dorothy's tutelage, Bess had become a better cook herself. She'd learned about seasoning her dishes to give them extra flavor, and she'd learned how to make canned vegetables come to life. But while Bess missed all the different ways Dorothy had helped her prepare meals for her family, what she missed most of all was the conversations they'd had in the kitchen. From the very beginning, Dorothy had been forthright with Bess. Careful of Bess's feelings, yes. Mindful that Bess was her employer, of course. Her advice and opinions had always been overlaid with kindness, but they had never been withheld. Sitting at her kitchen table early Saturday morning, Bess laughed as she imagined all the ways that Dorothy was being forthright with Nina Tarkington. It did sound as though the girl needed a strong hand to guide her. Lucky for her that she'd found Dorothy. As far as Bess could tell, it was a good situation for everyone. Dorothy's role seemed to be that of a teacher more than a housekeeper. Lucky for her, she had a student eager to learn and willing to work hard. Given their differences in age and situation, Bess doubted that Dorothy and Mrs. Tarkington had the same sort of conversations that had taken place here in this kitchen. The conversation Bess wanted to have right now was one where Dorothy advised her on the best thing to do when it came to telling her family and Edwina that she and Joe were married and, in fact, had been married since April. It had been a mistake to wait so long. Joe had been urging her for weeks now to let everyone know and let the pieces fall where they may. "The girls will adjust to the news, Jane more quickly than Helen, I expect," he'd said. "And Edwina will understand that these things happen. She predicted that this would happen, if you recall." Bess did recall, and she knew Joe was right. Edwina was a sensible woman who would rejoice in Bess and Joe's happiness. But would she rejoice in having her living situation disrupted? Perhaps she'd be delighted. Joe thought she'd be. "Think of it as a patchwork family," he suggested. "It's not as if you and I are 20 years old and just starting out on life's journey. Besides, we're already bringing two families together. Why not bring Edwina into the mix?" Bess had laughed. "Shall we adopt her?" "Perhaps she can adopt us," Joe replied. "Let's make this as interesting as we can." Bess had felt better after their conversation, but she was still nervous about tonight's dinner. She glanced down at her shopping list. All she'd written so far was meat. She didn't even know what kind of meat. Helen loved roasted chicken, but Jane preferred beef. If she made a beef dish, Helen would pout, and if she roasted a chicken, Jane would fuss. It was like serving dinner to Joe and Amy March, Bess thought. Dorothy would know exactly the right thing to serve. She always did. If only Bess could call her on this newfangled phone of hers, wouldn't that be wonderful? But Dorothy didn't have a phone yet, and even if she did, she'd be at work. Well, what time did Dorothy go into the cafe to get ready for the day? She was there now, wasn't she? Bess looked at the clock. It was 7:30, which meant that Dorothy would be putting the first pies in the oven. Bess would go and offer her help in the kitchen, and while she was there, she'd ask Dorothy's advice about tonight's dinner. No, she'd beg Dorothy to help her come up with a menu. Yes, that was the ticket. It only took Bess a moment to gather her things, and 15 minutes later, she was pulling up to building number 5. This early in the morning, the door was still locked, but Bess pressed down on the bell several times, crossing her fingers that someone would hear. The look on Dorothy's face when she opened the door suggested that she had indeed heard and wasn't all that happy to be summoned. But her expression changed in an instant once she realized it was Bess waiting for her. "I was about to fuss at whoever was ringing that thing to death," she said, laughing. "It's the worst sound in the world, and I only needed to hear it once." "Oh, I'm so sorry. I was afraid it might not work at all, or that you wouldn't hear it back in the kitchen." "Oh, I heard it." Dorothy motioned for Bess to come inside. "Now, tell me what on earth you're doing here so early on a Saturday morning. Not that I'm not happy to see you. I was just wishing for a little company. Sometimes my son-in-law, Jasper, comes by to drink a cup of coffee with me, but I haven't seen him yet today." Bess followed Dorothy into the cafe, where the tables were already covered in white cloths and laid with silverware. "Every time I come in here, I can't help but thinking of Annie's wedding reception," Bess said as she surveyed the room. "Do you remember? All those people eating cake like it was going out of style."
"Cake that we made," Dorothy reminded her. "That sure was a lot of white frosting we whipped up back in your kitchen."
Bess laughed. "I was positive we'd never get everything done in time. It's funny to think about Annie's wedding now. I thought that Bill and I were entering the next part of our lives together. Annie married, Jane off to college in just a few years. Helen..." She paused. "Well, now I can't remember what I thought Helen would end up doing."
"If she had her way, I suspect she'd say, 'Helen, the star of screen and stage,'" Dorothy quipped.
"Yes, or 'Helen, world traveler,' or 'Helen, fashion model.'"
"That too."
Bess shook her head. "I certainly wouldn't have predicted what actually happened, neither the heartbreak nor the wonderful things. I never could have foreseen our little quilting bee or this quilting company."
"Father Joe," Dorothy added. "Who would have guessed he'd show up out of nowhere?"
"Or that we'd be..." Bess stopped herself.
Dorothy arched an eyebrow. That you be what? Bess put her hand over her mouth as though to keep the rest of that sentence from escaping. But it was too late. She and Dorothy had known each other far too long for Bess to keep a secret that was already halfway out of the bag. Joe and I are married, Bess admitted. Dorothy took a step back. Since when?
Since April.
Since April? And you haven't told anyone yet? Dorothy laughed. How on earth have you kept that news to yourself? Let's go into the kitchen. I believe this calls for coffee and pie. And congratulations. I'm so happy for you, Bess.
Pie, yes, please, Bess said as the two women made their way to the small kitchen. I just realized I didn't eat any breakfast.
Well, let me make you some then. How about eggs? I've got lots of eggs on hand. I might make myself a plate while I'm at it.
5 minutes later, Bess and Dorothy were sitting at a table in the cafe, eating their breakfast. The eggs were soft, buttery, and so familiar that Bess felt tears coming to her eyes.
You always made the best scrambled eggs. You think I'd know your secret by now.
Low and slow, Dorothy said. Keep the heat low and cook the eggs slowly. Keep stirring so they don't get brown on the bottom. Oh, and lots of butter.
Bess sighed happily. I love butter.
Butter is one of God's good gifts, Dorothy agreed. Now, tell me about how you ended up married and didn't tell anybody.
I told Annie, Bess admitted, and now you. But we held off making any sort of announcement because of Joe's daughter, the one who lost the baby.
I was so sorry to hear about that. How's she doing now?
Better. They're going to try again when the doctor says it's time. Joe was afraid the news of our getting married might prove upsetting to her. And I've been concerned about Edwina and the girls. More about Edwina than the girls, to be honest.
She's just gotten herself settled in, Dorothy said, nodding. I'm assuming you and Joe will live in your house. You don't want to uproot Helen.
No, Bess agreed. I don't think it would be fair to her, or good for her. She's doing well at school, is more settled, more accepting that Bill is really gone. It's going to be strange enough to have me married to a man who's not her father.
Oh, Dorothy, did we marry too soon? Perhaps we should have waited another year.
For Helen's sake? Bess shrugged. Maybe for everyone's sake. But we were going to be married no matter what.
Well, that's exactly right. And for all of Helen's theatrics, she's not...
Dorothy paused, as if to hunt for the right words.
Well, she's capable of understanding love. Maybe that's the way to put it. And she's a good girl. She'll want you to be happy.
Even if it makes her unhappy?
If the news makes her unhappy, it will only be for a minute, Dorothy insisted. She might have to put a dramatic flourish on things when you tell her the news, but she'll settle down soon enough. And I don't think there's a reason in the world to worry about Jane, do you?
I don't, Bess said. She's so sensible.
She is at that. As for Edwina, she might offer to move somewhere, but the fact is, your house won't exactly be a honeymoon suite, so why should she feel like she needs to give you your privacy?
Back in my day, young married folks lived with one or the other's families before they got a place of their own. You'll just have what's the phrase I'm looking for?
A patchwork family, Bess suggested with a smile, thinking of Joe.
That's exactly it. A patchwork family of which Edwina will be a colorful part. Now, let me get you some pie, and you can tell me why you came over so early. I know it wasn't to spill your secrets, even if that's what ended up happening.
Bess almost said no. After those delicious eggs, she didn't need pie,
But since when did Bess Wilcox Mayfield, ever pass up a piece of pie?
You don't happen to have cherry pie, do you? She called after Dorothy, who was carrying their breakfast plates into the kitchen.
If it's still summertime, then you know I've got cherry pie, Dorothy replied, and a moment later she was back with two plates.
Now, tell me what you're doing here, and tell me quick. I need to get back to my preparations.
Bess explained that she and Joe were going to tell the girls and Edwina tonight over dinner.
But I can't think of what to serve, and you're always so good at coming up with the menu. I want to make something that everyone will enjoy. Something special.
Dorothy began to laugh. You know what everybody will enjoy? They'll enjoy the meal you just ate.
Eggs and pie?
Eggs and pie. That's exactly right. Now, you're going to want to add some things to the egg plate. Bacon or sausage or a piece of fried ham, and biscuits, of course. I wonder if they have cantaloupe at the market today. That goes so nicely with breakfast.
Breakfast for dinner, Bess said slowly, as though getting used to the idea.
With pie.
Cherry pie?
It's the season for it, Dorothy said.
Here's what I'd do. Serve dinner first and get everybody feeling all happy, because everybody loves a good, easy supper, especially if there's bacon involved and the promise of pie. Then bring out the cherry pie and the coffee, and that's when you let them know.
You make it sound so very easy.
It will be, Dorothy insisted. At least easier than you think.
Everybody at that table wants to see you happy, Bess. And everybody at that table knows that it was only a matter of time before you two are going to get married.
They'll probably be relieved to hear it. Now, I need to get back to work.
Bess stood to collect the pie plates. Let me help you. I know all of this has put you behind.
Oh, I'll catch up. Don't you worry.
Bess put her hand on Dorothy's arm.
I want to help you. I miss being in the kitchen with you.
Dorothy was quiet a moment before speaking.
I miss it too, she said. Things seemed to be a lot simpler back then, even though we know they weren't. Still, we had some fun, didn't we? Making all that frosting for Annie's cakes. Do you remember what the kitchen looked like by the time we were done?
Oh, I remember, Bess said. I'm not sure we ever got it all cleaned up.
Laughing, the two women went to the kitchen, where their aprons awaited them. Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast. We're reading Friendship Album 1934, a novel by Frances O'Rourke Dow, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.